Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin is driving a brand new 15 Sonata Sport.
And it's got an accessory port in the back seat on the armrest. So if you happen to make a 10-hour trip somewhere, and you have people that want to use their electronic devices to stream whatever, they can keep them nice and charged because you have that available to you. You have a USB port available to you and an accessory port up front. And, of course, plenty of room for five in everybody's luggage as well. If you want to see that, just follow me on Twitter at Kevin Herr or also on Facebook. You can follow me there as well on Facebook and see the featured vehicle of the week, the 2015 Sonata Sport. From Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury.
And it's all backed up by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our great friends. All right. Our number, 800-795-9565, 800-795-9565. And I do agree with what Clint Hurdle did. He played to win it. And you're not assured that if Gerrit Cole pitches last night, you advance? But I can tell you what you are assured of, for example, that if Madison Bumgarner pitches against you, he will shut you out. That is what you're assured of. I mean, the only way the Pirates are going to win last night if it went to extra innings scoreless. Mike in Elizabethville. Hi, Mike. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. Sorry to change your topic away from the Pirates.
Oh, please.
I guess that's what you're talking about. I don't even follow baseball anymore. But I went to my first Penn State game since Joe Paterno got fired, and I was surprised. Penn State doesn't seem to run the offense that Bill O'Brien had successfully, you know, used the last few years. They're not doing, you know, pounding the ball with Zwinak and, you know, rolling Zwinak out and hitting the tight ends and doing what seemed to be successful the last few years. I don't think they can just leave Hackenberg drop back and throw with, you know, that offensive line the way they're doing. So hopefully they can clear that up here with these big games coming up.
Well, Mike, I mean, the problem is this. They can't run the football right now. I mean, that's a huge part of it. You can talk about pounding Zwinak all you want. Zwinak is at 2.7 yards a carry. I mean, that's even below the Bettis line. And so you just can't, you know, if you can't generate a ground game, that takes away a chunk of your offense. Probably 33 to 40% of your offense is taken out there. You can't really do anything play action. Sometimes on some of the pass plays, you got to keep a tight end in. Now, Bill was doing that last year, too. I'd say Bill was probably, in 2012, 70% of the time he had five guys in the pattern. Last year, I'd say maybe 33 to 40% of the time they had five guys in the pattern. I started noticing, and I mentioned this to Jack Ham. I said, you notice they're keeping it a back and they're keeping it a tight end. A lot of times in the middle of last year, Penn State was sending three guys into the pattern because they were worried about the same thing. And what you're seeing now is that they really can't send five guys into the pattern the way things are now. And the ability to run the football, that's an area they're going to have to dramatically make an improvement in because that's taking away a part of the offense right now. It's setting them up in second and long and third and long situations if they're running the ball on first down. And for Christian Hackenberg, it becomes even more problematic because, A, you don't have five guys in the pattern. You probably have three in the pattern, which means you can't get the mismatches with the tight ends that you're talking about. And it all stems from the fact if you can't run the football, you're going to struggle with these things.
Yeah, well, I guess that all does make sense. I just it just didn't seem like they're really giving it a try, and I guess they just gave up. But I just know I heard that, you know, we still had a lot of talent at tight end. You know, I heard in the Big Ten Network, I think over summer, that they were, you know, four potential NFL caliber tight ends there, and we don't seem to even be targeting them. And, you know, we just can't be tossing the ball to the sideline of the receivers when they, you know, Hackenberg don't have time to do that, you know?
Well, that's an interesting point, Mike. That's an interesting point. Because they're
I'll
gonna,
let you go.
Yeah, they're going to have to get, Mike, the tight ends more involved in the pass game, no question. And I think they can do it in a variety of ways because Gesicki has fabulous hands. And I think that Jesse James, obviously, we know what he has in Kyle Carter. Brent Wilkerson's more of a blocker. But still, you know, you're right. That's where you can find your mismatches. When you can get a tight end on a linebacker or a tight end on a safety, Mike is absolutely right. You're going to get mismatches there. He's spot on. So... But if you can't run the football, wow, that becomes incredibly problematic when that's actually a base in what you're trying to do. I mean, it's a base of what you're trying to do in your offense. And if you can't run it, that takes away your play action game. That takes away a portion of your offense. You know, you really cannot. You can tell me, hey, let's throw screen passes. You can't throw screen passes if you can't run the ball. I mean, people aren't respecting that. So, oh yeah, you sent me a note about, you know, being below the Bettis line.
Yeah, thanks for the dig.
3.9 a carry. I know you hate that.
Well, I think that's something that a lot of fans don't realize either until you actually threw out those numbers. The rushing numbers just haven't been there. Are they still, as a team, below 100 yards a game average rushing?
I think they're at 105, but that's because of the UMass game.
Yeah, just so 10, even considering the fact that UMass is there. Yeah,
they had 228 rushing against UMass. That's what put them over that number. Now they're giving up far less than that rushing the ball in that realm. I mean, in terms of their defense, you know, the whole, whenever you're facing a team, you want to do whatever you can to make them one dimensional. I mean, that's what you're looking for. So when Penn State takes on Michigan, for example, a week from Saturday, if Penn State can take away the run game and force Devin Gardner to beat them, they have now taken a huge step forward to winning the game because they made them one-dimensional. Well, Penn State's not running the ball well right now, so teams have made Penn State, as the games have gone along, more one-dimensional. Yeah, and again, you know, Mike talked about throwing it outside to the receivers. Part of the reason you're doing that is your running game. You use those plays essentially as running plays to try and get that done. And they're just going to have to... I mean, and there are no easy solutions. Let me give you an example. They can't really coach the way they want to coach with this thing. And I'll give you an example. And I talked about this earlier in the week. If you're a good observer of what goes on in the football field, what is the alignment when Christian Campbell comes on the field and plays corner? Christian Campbell and three veterans. When Marcus Allen plays safety, what do you have? Three veterans and Marcus Allen. When you have Gary Wooten on the field, who may not be a freshman, but I've talked to Brent Pry about this. Brent Pry always wants to have Naeem Wortman on the field when he has Gary Wooten out there. A veteran, guy that knows the calls every bit as well as Mike Hall. So that's how they want to coach. I mean, Mike Gesicki's never out there himself. There's another veteran tight end with him. Same thing with Godwin and Blackdome. They have not had that luxury with the offensive line. They have not been able to wean in Brian Gaia, wean in Derek Dowry, wean in Brendan Mann, redshirt freshman, wean in Andrew Nelson, redshirt freshman. They would love to have the offensive line be that situation. The bottom line is the six guys they're playing are the six best they have. Let's go to Tom in Middleburg. Hi, Tom. How are you at 800-795-9565?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm well. Thanks for asking, Tommy.
I got a question. Why don't they run Zinak in the backfield as fullback, and what's the name as the tailback? I'll listen to your answer.
Well, that's a good question. A lot of people have brought that up, Tom, but I think if you do that, you lose the versatility of a tight end as to what the tight end can do. So what they've been doing is using the tight end, whether it's Wilkerson or it's Carter. They haven't done Jesse James in that role yet, or Gesicki. So Carter, Gesicki, and occasionally Wilkerson. The versatility of the tight end, who's bigger than Zwinak, for one thing, you're talking about 15 pounds bigger, and also better receivers, I think that gives them more versatility in the offense and more that they can call from when they use a tight end instead of the fullback, and that tight end becomes part H-back, part tight end, part fullback, sometimes a broken eye, sometimes a pure eye. Doesn't mean they can't use Zwinak as a fullback in certain situations, because people have asked about that. But I also think that if you do that, you lose the versatility of the second tight end, because that second tight end essentially has been the fullback. But a good question and a good observation. 800-795-9565. Look, everybody's trying to come up with solutions, and I think that's great. They're trying to come up with solutions. You didn't like the Bettis thing, did you?
I'm starting to get used to it.
Yeah. One of these days we'll have him on the show and you can pay tribute to him. I'll just sit back and listen to you pay homage.
It would be a little bit of a love fest, I have to admit.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's one of the reasons why I and the audience would take the day off. All right. 800-795-9565. Good questions. In fact, both of them have revolved around Zach Zwinak so far. One about why not use Zwinak more at tailback and pound it, okay? And the other one has been about whether or not to use Zwinak as a fullback. I mean, all good questions. But I look at what they do with the tight ends right now. The second one, sometimes that second one is in a fullback spot in the eye, sometimes in the broken eye in the fullback spot, and sometimes off on the wing, then occasionally in a too tight set across the board. I just like the versatility of that position, especially the hands of that position, you know, where you can maybe take that tight end on the wing, slip him out in the flat, take that tight end, run a wheel route with him, and you could do something like that. Doesn't mean they can't use, but Tom and Mike both asked about Zwinak. It doesn't mean you can't use those guys to, doesn't mean you can't, could never use Zwinak as a fullback. Doesn't mean you couldn't. Interesting suggestions. 800-795-9565. 800-795-9565.
Steve, are you seeing I'm sorry, I was gonna say, do you see teams now coming into Big Ten play ready to pin back their ears and go after Hackenberg, knowing the weaknesses now on the offensive line?
180 on that one.
Okay.
It's actually 180. They're actually doing more and more of dropping eight and feeling that they can rush three or four and get away with
and
it.
And still get pressure on him with three guys and covering everybody. All right.
Right. I mean, I've been watching teams drop seven and eight so far and, clog up as many passing lanes as possible. So that's what I've been seeing from them.
How do you feel how do you feel Hackenberg's doing here? As fans, we all have to keep in mind, it's his second year. How's he doing with his progressions? I mean, and especially, as you said, seeing all those guys in the secondary, it's got to make it tough to go through everything.
I think there's been times he's rushed them. I think there's been times he's rushed his progressions. And I think, and that's been the tough part, is that, I think there have been times he's rushed them. And I think that, and I think part of that is that that internal clock that he has, you worry about that. Is the internal clock rushing a bit because he's been surrounded so many times? So, and I think, he's taken a lot of hits He's taken way more hits than he should. I think all the work that Dwight Gault's done with him, you know, working on his core and things like that, have been, you know, really important to him absorbing hits and being able to get up. And Dwight Gault, by the way, will be our guest tonight on the Penn State football show tonight. Dwight will be on. We'll talk about strength and conditioning. Kevin will be taking notes all night long.
Darn right. That's a good strength and conditioning guy there.
Yes, it is. And Athletic Director Sandy Barber is going to be part of the show as well, coming up. So we're going to have her on to talk about several issues. And I am going to ask her about the bowl money tonight, and have her discuss that issue with the Big Ten. I think it's a major issue, and I think it's something that that I think the Big Ten is making a mistake. And I think that the way it's interesting how I feel like the way Roger Goodell handles certain things in the NFL has made some people feel emboldened in the college game that they've handled the Penn State thing right, and they didn't handle the Penn State thing right. Hey, and here's the other part. One thing that Bob Buehner talks about all the time, he talks about this all the time. When it comes to, let's take the pro level, Ray Rice, okay, it's a little bit different. Okay, let's take Adrian Peterson and a couple of other incidents where the court system has not played out yet. You have to let the court system play out before you then before you render final judgment. Okay. That's great. Well, here's one for you. Let me ask all of you, how's the court system played out in the Penn State thing so far outside of one guy? Oh, it hasn't played out yet. Well, I find that rather interesting, don't all of you? You mean the Penn State thing has not played out yet in a court of law yet? Yet the NCAA already rendered judgment? Really? Has anybody thought about that part yet? Because obviously, as you can tell, I have. But one of the key points that Bob has made on this show as a former district attorney, who the law means everything to him, and one of the things that we talked about was suspending people with pay so you don't take away their livelihood, right, while it plays out in a court of law. Well, Penn State was placed on probation. Can somebody explain to me where Penn State, where the trials have taken place so far for Penn State? Anybody know that yet? Where judgment was rendered? I mean, judgment was rendered on the retired employee. But what about everybody else? And they place Penn State on probation? Really? And the Big Ten won't? The Big Ten will not make up the $6 million difference when there hasn't even been a trial yet to determine guilt or innocence? Desmond Howard, for example, says he doesn't like the mob mentality toward Michigan. It's interesting viewpoint, Desmond. I watched game day 2 weeks ago. We'll come back with more after this.
You patiently waited through the winter, spring, and summer for the pre-owned blowout sale of the year.
Well, your wait is over.
Sunbury Motor Company has annihilated the pricing of their entire pre-owned inventory. Save up to $6,000 off. Carfax recommended pricing on over 350 used vehicles on one site. Go to www.sunburymotors.com to see everything you need to know about your next pre-owned vehicle. Look for Jeeps, Toyotas, Nissans, Hondas. Virtually any make is on SunburyMotors.com. 350 vehicles, all priced lower than comparable models elsewhere. Value your trade on SunburyMotors.com. Get pre-approved on SunburyMotors.com. Or just show up to claim your savings on your next pre-owned vehicle. Sunbury Motors has 99 years of selling quality pre-owned vehicles. That's SunburyMotors.com. Hurry before someone else gets your savings.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Kevin was telling me they got access to AccuWeather Premium, which was great because now I don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah, tomorrow night I can follow everything with 5-minute radar updates. I'm excited.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I'm a little concerned that it might rain and cause an issue with some of the games tomorrow.
Well, okay. Good. And there you go. It's the little things.
It's the small victories in life.
Yes. Yes. And for me, it's just, it'll be one less thing that you'll bug me about.
Well, I mean, it was kind of awkward calling you on the phone, like, right before the pregame. Hey, Steve, what do you see? Now I don't have to.
What bothers me, though, is that your radar has 47 states. I find that concerning.
Well, it's a little outdated.
A little. I mean, you know they let Arizona in, right?
When was that again?
Oh, geez.
Is that last year?
The Shane Morris situation, we talked about this with Adam Rittenberg at the top. There are a lot of factors that go into this. The Northwestern makes it standard operational procedure, and they have been for a few years, that at home they have a doctor in the box. They monitor, they look at the monitor, things like that, in case there's an issue. This year, for the first time, they're traveling that individual on the road. Now, Matthew Harris, by the way, who was knocked out in the game at Beaver Stadium, looks like he's going to start this week against Wisconsin, which is awesome news. Brady Hoke on the sideline, said he didn't see it. I don't see how, in a situation like this, where it's your quarterback, it's not your left guard, where you might not be focused on your left guard, especially if there are other bodies in front of him. But this is the quarterback. Now, he's officially out of this week's game, and the reason he's out is because of the high ankle sprain. I would guess that would put him out of the Penn State game, too. I would guess that what you see is what you get, that Devin Gardner is going to be the starting quarterback against Penn State, too. Shane Morris probably is not going to be able to play in the game. With a high ankle sprain, usually puts you out 3 to 4 weeks. So, but nobody saw it. And for Michigan, there's been a lot of backpedaling and what do you do about this, you know, I understand that. But Desmond Howard, for example, who verbally crushed Penn State when they were doing game day at North Dakota State, talking about, you know, egregious actions and things like that. Okay, you know, the person is in jail, right? The other people haven't even had the courtesy yet of having a trial. Now, that will come in due time, but guilt or innocence hasn't even been determined yet. And I know this is his school and Penn State's my school, but I have tried to give Michigan the benefit of the doubt in some ways about this. I would hope that he would approach his job with more, let's see, what would be a good word?
Tact?
No.
Objectiveness?
Information.
Okay.
Information would be good. If he could attack his job with more information to help him form an opinion instead of showing up and using old information as the basis. I mean, I've tried to be, at my part, very fair to Brady Hoke of Michigan, but somebody, especially in the medical staff, hey, when he came over, they should have taken his helmet, period, and say, hey, look, you know, even if it, okay, say there's no concussion, and it is a high ankle sprain, which the high ankle sprain is what's putting him out of this week's game, okay? Hey, say there's no concussion, it's a high ankle sprain. They should have taken his helmet away from him and said, look, he can't go in anyway. So it's a dicey situation. It then piles on to everything else with the problems they're having at Michigan. And they've got Rutgers this week. And Rutgers has played pretty well. Rutgers defensive front, not bad. Rutgers offensive line, by the way, is very good. Now you're looking at that offensive line now that has, what, 119 starts between them? 119 starts, five guys? Makes a big difference.
I do think, though, Steve, there is one thing that is a little bit confusing. And I think this is where a lot of Michigan fans are not happy right now, to say the least. Why would the athletic director make an announcement of the fact that there was actually a concussion, or that the player now has a concussion, and let the coach go out a few hours earlier, maybe more than a few hours earlier, but hours earlier, and not know that that was even being discussed?
Well, okay, here's the issue I have. Why didn't... I mean, doesn't the coach get a full medical report from everybody the day after the... I mean, either after the game or the day after the game?
I would think so.
I mean, it would have to be on there. Because if he suffered a concussion, you then have to go through a series of tests to be cleared.
Right.
Okay? You have a baseline test that you take. So now that you've determined your baseline, you then have to take that test again after you've been diagnosed with a concussion. And once you pass that, there's the additional step. You then have to pass the physical part to then be cleared. Well, his press conference is on Monday. The medical staff didn't tell him he had a concussion? What's that deal? He's the head coach. Why isn't it on the report?
And why is it released in the middle of the night that, oh, by the way, he had a concussion?
Well, that part I can't get into that. That's
you're
too conspiracy theory. I'm actually more fact based. So
I understand. I understand, but I'm asking. The only thing did that happen that way?
I have no idea. But what you're saying is what time they released it's irrelevant.
Well, I'm saying compared to when the coach took his meeting or had his press conference. That's what I was confused about.
I'm saying why on a Sunday doesn't the head coach have the injury report? The press conference was Monday. I can see after the game he doesn't have it yet. All right? Because, you know, you go in the locker room, blah, blah, blah. You talk to your team, the whole thing. You go out, and within 10 minutes, you're talking to the media. You don't really have a feel yet for where things are, you know. And that part's acceptable because you just don't have it yet. But Monday, I mean, you should have the injury report on Sunday. Okay, what are we doing on Sunday, all right? He's got a high ankle sprain. Anything else? Well, he also suffered a concussion. We're going to have to put him through a series. I mean, if he suffered a concussion, Kevin, he has to go through concussion testing to be cleared.
Yes. Well, and he had to have gone through some sort of testing to find out that he had a concussion. I mean, this is where I'm confused.
Well, I'm saying, though, this isn't on the... Okay, you can slap the athletic director all you want. He's out of the equation, okay? He's not in this equation, okay?
Okay.
He's just the one that put the news out at whatever in the morning, okay? Okay? This whole thing is, why isn't the medical staff properly communicating to the head coach what the deal is?
Oh, we had that discussion earlier. Why didn't they actually see it on the field? That's what they're supposed to
right.
be doing.
Okay, right. I understand, but you don't know. Hey, look, there's 100... First of all, it's a home game, all right? It's not a road game. You're saying, what difference does that make?
There's a lot more people right. that are there that don't yes, normally travel for road
people.
Games.
Right. 70, only 70 would be there if it's a road game. They probably had dressed between 100 and 110 guys. So now you've got 30 to 40 additional bodies between you and the field. Because a lot of times the trainers are, you know, sometimes they're up on the sideline. Sometimes they're treating somebody else in the back bench, okay? So somebody didn't see it. And why is it the quarterback coach? I mean, he's looking at him. I mean, take my word, the quarterback coach is looking directly at him. Hey, why
you would hope.
But I'm saying, though, why isn't he? I mean, you think Ricky Ronnie takes his eyes off of Christian Hackenberg? I mean, I know there are other responsibilities that they have during the game. I mean, Ronnie's looking at coverages, you know, who's coming in the game, things like that. I mean, I understand that. But you would think that Doug Nussmeier, who's the offensive coordinator and the quarterback coach, what's he looking at? But not only that, but you know, the training staff is... Okay, when it happened, it happens. Okay, so you're now trying to, okay, figure out, well, he has a high ankle sprain, the whole thing. Explain to me why, especially after the world has said on national TV it looks like he has a concussion, that they don't tell Brady Hoke on Sunday we're taking a look at him to see if he had a concussion.
Yeah, that's what I didn't understand. That was the point I was trying to make earlier, yes.
I mean, that's the part that baffles me. It's not the question that the athletic director, as much of a lightning rod as he is right now at Michigan, for other reasons, this is not his deal. This is not on him. He's the athletic director. He's in the box. He's entertaining people. Or trying to tell them it's not as bad as they think it is. Whatever. Okay?
If I were Brady Hoke, I'd feel like he hung me out to dry, though, in that. Or that someone hung me out to dry.
How?
Not the
how?
AD. Not the AD. That someone hung him out to dry.
I'll defend Dave Brandon, the AD, on this one. This isn't his deal.
No.
Except he's the CEO of the department.
Right.
Okay, so now we got to find out what's going on. He's not in charge of figuring out whether Shane Morris has a concussion.
Right, but I'm saying someone did.
He's not the one that has to go tell Brady Hoke he's got a concussion. All right? It is up to the medical staff, the trainers, and the doctors to inform the head coach either Saturday night or Sunday morning, one of the two, here's the deal. And it's not just that. Okay, Jabril Peppers, he has an ankle injury. We're doing this. We're doing this. Okay, you might not have Lewis available. Okay. What about Green? Well, Green's okay. Okay. You know, you'll probably have to miss Monday's break. You know, they get a full report on this. You're telling me the concussion's not on the report?
Yeah. I just think somebody, it would appear as though somebody wanted Brady Hoke to go in without information and take heat for this. That he probably shouldn't have taken. Because, I don't know, you would think that he would have some sort of report, and obviously
right.
nobody gave him a report on it.
Okay, Okay, that then tells you that in this organization, they have massive breakdowns. And look, there's so many people that deal with Brady Hoke all the time that will tell you he is a great guy. Okay, so let's, I mean, okay, that a lot of, I mean, he is genuinely liked by people, and he's genuinely liked by people in his profession. Okay? But this is a huge breakdown somewhere communication-wise. Okay, he says he's not looking at the quarterback. He was looking at something else at the time. I buy it. I got it. And you can even tell by the way he reacts in Monday's press conference, he still doesn't know about it. Right?
I totally agree with you.
I mean, so something is askew, and it starts with the medical staff. Who's communicating what? What injury list is he getting? I mean, obviously the injury list said he had a high ankle sprain. But nobody sat back and said, you know, we need to test him for a concussion and make sure he doesn't have post-concussion syndrome. I mean, that's the part that I find baffling in all of this. When everybody else says it looks like he's got a concussion, and then on Monday, 48 hours later, the head coach is like, I don't know. Okay, who's not telling him and why?
It almost acts like he's not the head coach. You know what I mean? Well, No. I'm not saying that in a negative way. They're treating him like he's not the head coach because he doesn't need to know this information. For sure he does.
But I'm wondering if they didn't think he had a concussion.
Well, there's a thought I hadn't had.
In other words, like the medical staff didn't think he had one. It's almost like that's how they're acting, like, he had a bad ankle, and that's what we're treating as the ankle.
And then at 1 a.m., all of a sudden, they decide he has a concussion.
Well, I think there's been so much surrounding it, they said, you know, maybe you ought to test this kid.
Yes, exactly.
Well, he should have been tested right away and given a, you know, in other words, he should have been put on the possible concussion list on Sunday, which meant on Monday or Tuesday this week is when he probably would have taken, you know, his baseline test. And if he passes the baseline test, then the next step is that you have to then do a physical test. Okay, I go through, okay, I passed my baseline test, I did okay. All right, now I got to take the players will tell you the baseline test is easier than the physical test. Because the key with the physical test is that, okay, you take it. How are you? Are you getting headaches, or do you wake up the next day and have headaches? If you go through that and you're okay in all regards, you're set and you can play. That's how it works. It's a two-pronged situation, okay? You take a baseline when you first enter school, because then you have to then retake that test when they suspect a concussion. If you pass that test, then you do have to have a physical test. And the physical test, if you go through that headache-free, then you're cleared to play. If you're getting headaches after taking the physical test, you are still not cleared. That's how it works. And it seems from the outside looking in, you have to openly question, excuse me, did your medical people miss this? And if so, what did they tell you? That would be a legitimate question. Okay, then if they say, no, they didn't miss it. Okay, then why didn't they tell you? Because obviously on Monday you acted like you didn't know. I mean, that's a major breakdown, because part of what coaches have done is they've made a great transition across the board, across the country on every level, high school, college, and the pros. They've done a great job as coaches of not forcing the issue on injuries. They have now settled back. Most coaches settle back into, look, that's not my call. The medical staff will tell me when he can play.
That's what I was just going to ask you. Who has final say? It's not the coach anymore. As I understand it, it's the medical staff.
It's the medical staff, whether it's the trainer or the doctor. One of the two. Trainer or the doctor. And that they determine whether a guy can or cannot play. And most coaches have stepped back from that, and they don't force the issue anymore. Remember the old days? Well, he's got to play. Well, now it's like, hey, look, they'll tell you. They'll go out there and they have different levels. So, you know, you can have limited contact, your green cross, your red cross, you're out of it. Okay? It's the medical staff that makes these calls now. It's really on them. And that's the part at Michigan that needs to be concentrated on. Either A, they missed it, or B, they didn't tell them. Well, either one is really bad. And I don't want to throw people under the bus, but you're dealing with, obviously, a 19, 20-year-old here as well. And if it's not being handled right, in reality, he's the one you're throwing under the bus. Come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Well, releasing the information at 1 in the morning is not smart. I mean, just wait till the next day. What's the difference between, you can't wait till 9 a.m.?
That's the part that I thought was really strange. I mean, nobody in that office said, you know, this might be a bad idea. Well, let's wait a little bit till everybody's getting going and the day starts. No, let's release it at 1 a.m. and see if it just disappears. Now, I'm not saying anybody said that. I'm just saying that's kind of what it seems like here.
Right. Well, look, the most important thing to me is, you know, where's the medical staff in this? Why aren't they communicating? And why has all this just been, you know, in bits and pieces? The whole thing looks bad. Now, the problem is that, you know, Brady Hoke is the one that has to go out there. And if you're walking out into a press conference and you don't have any information, you're going to look bad. Okay? You're going to look bad. I mean, you're the one. You know, and this is what, you know, what gets me. This is where, like, take, for example, the people who make decisions on such things, they're the ones that have to go out and do these things. Okay? Okay, they're the ones that have to do this. That's why with the deal with the Vikings, okay? They sent the general manager out there, right? John Harbaugh. There are reports left and right now in Baltimore that John Harbaugh wanted to release Ray Rice initially. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But then he was the one that had to go out and defend it because you don't want to know why? Want to know why they wanted him out there defending it and why the Vikings wanted the GM Spielman out there defending it? Want to know why? Because they're the people used to dealing with the media. The people that made the decision aren't. See my point? They wanted somebody more media savvy out there to handle it. To me, if you make the decision, you're the one that has to take the questions. Sending somebody else out there is not the way to go. I know Brady Hoke's the head coach, but somebody from the medical staff should have been made available as to what happened and why.